Let us pray.
Loving God, we give you thanks for the word that we've just heard. We pray that we may hear your word to each of us individually in it. And not just hear it, but may we understand what you are calling us to do, what you are calling us to be, and have the will, the courage to follow. In Christ's name we pray.
Amen. Since my fan
evidently just stopped, I'm standing under this one.
Back in 2000, Mom died in early June. And that July, in fact, I think it was over July 4th, we traveled, my brother and I traveled to Indiana to clean out her little efficiency apartment. And it took us several days to get everything taken care of, getting her clothes to the Salvation Army and things like that. And we left on, I believe it was a Friday. We had dinner at the old Hojo's in Richmond, Indiana. And then my brother started towards St. Louis with his daughter. And we both had our vans. And his had a mattress and some stuff, a box spring and some stuff, and a mattress all tied on top of his car. I think from the floor, that pile on top of the car was about that high. Barbara and I didn't have anything on the top of our car, but we had the longer part of it. So we started out. We got to Eastern Ohio. Everything was going great. We stayed overnight. We got back on Interstate 70, got up to Washington, Pennsylvania, had breakfast, and got on the turnpike. We heard that there might be a little backup on the turnpike. Well, all of a sudden, we came around a bend, and there it was. Traffic was stopped. Everything was going good. It was a beautiful day, and traffic just stopped. And we had a few miles to go before the next exit. There was an accident on the turnpike. So we waited, and all of a sudden I'm looking, I noticed that my engine's overheating. So I pull over, lift it up, and let it cool off, put it down, and we got back in, we moved a little bit, and I noticed it was overheating again. We eventually found out, once we got back here and had a mechanic look at it, the fan motor had burned out. But at that point, we didn't know. But each time, I finally realized that each time it started over each time we stopped, I turned the car off. Thank heavens I had a good battery that would start me each time.
And we did that all for a few miles until we got to the exit. We got off, we went north till we got to, I think it's US 30 or whatever, which took us over to Greasewood. And while we were moving, we were fine. It was great. Okay, now we know what to do. We'll make it. We got back on the turnpike at Greasewood. Just had gotten on, we're taking off, okay, we're going to get home in good time. Bang! From the back of the car. Called the tow truck. We went. They pulled off the back wheel. A chunk of the brake drum had busted out. And I'm going, oh, jeez. So I called Dale and Eddie. And he wasn't home. I tried to call Mark Sato. Mark, but I couldn't get Mark. So I called Dale's dad, who also knows something about cars, and he said, well, it sounds like if you take it easy and slow, you'd be okay to drive home.
Really?
He said, yeah. He said, just take it slow so you don't have to use your brakes that much. And that's what we did. We ended up taking it slow so everybody passed us, so we never had to hit our brakes. And we got home fine. But it seemed like just when we thought we were going, something would interrupt, something would break. If you read my pastoral record, you'll see that trip referred to as the trip from hell. But you know, life is like that. We get going. We finally got something figured out. And all of a sudden, life interrupts. Something comes in that we totally did not expect. And I think that's what happened to Jesus in our story today from Mark. Jesus is on the shore talking to the people. And Jairus, a high official of the synagogue, comes up and says, my daughter's near death. Would you please come and help? Lay your hand on her so she'll get better. And Jesus, I'm sure, was kind of thinking, all right. my word is finally getting through, even to the officials in the synagogue. So yes, I'm going to go. I'm going to help this person. It's going to be great. It's going to be wonderful. And Jesus is on his way with Jairus, and all of a sudden he feels something drain out of him. Who touched me? Oh, his disciples, I love their response. Come on, look around you, man. Everybody's touching you. And the woman comes forward and tells him what happened. And she is healed. But I think part of Jesus' response, who touched me, was this is kind of something's interrupting. I'm on my way, I'm going to do this. It's something interrupted me. And he stopped to find out what it was, what was going on. And in the end, because he did that, not only was the woman healed, but the child was raised from the dead. So two people were helped because he took the time to allow his life to be interrupted. Henry Nouwen, the great Catholic teacher, theologian, and priest, once said that in the prime of his career, he became frustrated by the many interruptions to his work. At the time, he was teaching at Notre Dame, and he had a heavy agenda every day and didn't like to be disturbed. And then one day, it dawned on him. The interruptions were his work. John Lennon put it another way. Life is what happens while you're busy making other plans. Life is what happens while you're busy making other plans. Often we find the interruption to be of greater consequence than what we were doing. We're going to do. We find that we maybe were able to help somebody in a wonderful way than we would have if we just kept doing what we were doing. And so the story reminds us that the interruptions are important. Interruptions often mean something about somebody else. Somebody needs something. Somebody needs help with something that we can do something about. And that nobody is more important than the other person. The untouchable woman. I mean, first of all, this is a woman which men weren't supposed to touch in ancient Judaism. But she was also a woman who had a bleeding problem. And that definitely was a no-no. She was very much an untouchable. And not only, I mean, Jesus doesn't touch her, but she touches him. So she could have been stoned or something just for doing that, knowing that she shouldn't do it. But this, in the story, that untouchable woman is just as important as the daughter of the synagogue official. It doesn't mean one was more important than the other. They both were the same in the eyes of God. And I think it's quite possible this could have been a little bit of a learning curve for Jesus. Because he did not see her. He was rushing with the synagogue officials to his daughter's bedside. And somebody has to touch him from behind in order to get the healing that they needed. And he felt the power go out of him. There was a Methodist bishop by the name of L. Battle Jones III. And he wrote in a sermon on this passage, "A poor, diseased, outcast woman, clutching her tattered garments tightly around her, slithering through the throng, frantically reaching out her hand for help, and suddenly all the love and power of God in Christ concentrated for a brief moment in her." Another person says, "In that instant, she went from nobody to somebody to everybody." God desires that each and every person be touched.
God desires to reach out and touch every other person, or every person. Use the old Verizon commercial. But sometimes, God chooses to do that touching through us. We're the ones that are the hands, the arms, the hugs, the whatever that person needs of God. And so that behooves us to take time when we're going through our daily lives to be aware of people around us, to be aware of what's happening around us, so that we will see that woman who needs help and help them. So we will see that child who needs a hand or whatever it is around us. If we go slow, if we're aware of our surroundings, we will notice who God wants us to notice. And that person is the one that God is calling us to be God's representative for. So as we begin this, it almost kind of seems like I don't need to say it, but as we begin the season of summer where life slows down, especially when you have heat like we've had, it behooves us to think that we do need to slow our lives down. We need to take the blinders off of our eyes that sees only where we want to go and see what's going on, what's happening to the people around us. So let's slow down. Otherwise, somebody may just have to grab us from behind and say, "Will you help me?" And they will interrupt us. Of course, if we see somebody needing help, we're going to be interrupted anyway, because they're going to stop us from doing what we were planning on doing. So let's slow down and notice the other person.